Welcome to the Wild Wellness Podcast. I'm Jenny Holbert, and in these episodes, we explore nature as our guide to well-being, feminine fitness, natural health, plant allies, and you'll learn from guest teachers on how to rediscover your inner wild, the woman into living her dreams. This is Wild Wellness. In this episode, you'll hear how one woman started using the daily dance party to end exercise as punishment and bring more fun, happiness, and creativity into her life. Deanna Seymour is the host of the Imperfect Party podcast and an art educator, which she has been for over a decade. So whether she's hosting a virtual dance party or chatting with a friend who's having a bummer of a day, Deanna uses humor and empathy to build a community that helps people feel seen, heard, and ultimately more comfortable in their own skin. In this episode, you'll hear specifically why having a daughter changed her perspective and self-image, her struggle with exercise, and a pep talk for you, as well as three steps to finding your movement of choice. Enjoy the episode and hearing from the amazing Deanna Seymour.
I'm Deanna Seymour. I'm a creativity coach, and I help people who've lost their creativity get their groove back. Ow. Before you stop listening, because you're already saying in your head, well, I'm not creative, so whatever. What gives? I thought this was just about exercise. I want you to hang with me because I'm going to get there. I promise. Okay, we might take a little bit of the scenic route, but I'm going to get there. So anyways, okay, first I want to talk to you about creativity a little bit. A lot of people think that creativity is really only for artsy folks, right? But I was doing a little research, ooh la la, and I found out that a California State University study defined creativity as the tendency to generate or recognize ideas, alternatives, or possibilities that may be useful in solving problems, communicating with others, and entertaining ourselves and others. Anyways, here's two things that I want to point out from that definition. First of all, it didn't say you have to be really good at drawing or cake baking or Pinterest activities, right? Nothing of the sort. So here's two things I want to point out about that definition. Number one, you don't even have to be the generator of the idea. You can just recognize it. Did you catch that when I read that? You just have to keep your eyes peeled for new ways of thinking about things and notice them. That's also part of being creative and being a creative thinker. The second thing is that it says that the ideas may be useful, so they don't always have to work. Isn't that like liberating? You're like, oh, Pinterest fails are okay. They don't always have to work. Failure is a key component to innovation. So when people say that they aren't creative, they're usually just not really thinking about it in this sort of way. They're thinking, I can't draw. I can't do whatever. It's usually something artsy, like I said. So, you know, with this new definition, like I'm betting that you've figured out a way to shorten a household chore. That sucks. I mean, I hate them all. So, or save some money on something that you really wanted, but was maybe out of your budget, and you just figured out how to kind of make it work, right? That's being creative. That's innovative thinking. And it's problem solving. So, you know, I mean, also like what, maybe you fix things around your house with a little duct tape and a shrug. Like, that should do it. That's creativity too. It's problem solving and it's thinking outside the box. So, I mean, if you're like me, you might have a Pinterest board full of ideas that you haven't tried yet. The good news is that's being creative. Making the Pinterest board is you recognizing that those ideas might be worth trying. So guess what? You're creative. It's official. The best thing about being creative is that it oozes into all aspects of your life. Hopefully just through that, you know, couple minute intro, you understand that it can ooze into all the spots in your life. And it doesn't have to just be like, I can only draw a stick figure. I'm not creative. All right. Maybe you're the person nobody wants on their Pictionary team. That's okay. That has nothing to do with creativity. It's Pictionary. Just saying. Drawing is not the only thing that equals creativity. So let me move on. I'm rambling. So, my husband got me a thing called a tribute for my 40th birthday last year. It's one of those things where all your friends contribute little videos saying how much they love you. And then this online company called Tribute puts it all together with music. And I can honestly say that it's hands down one of the best gifts I've ever received. Like, the amount of happy tears I cried during that 20-minute video probably broke like some world record or something. It was a little actually crazy. So I'm glad no one was like filming a reaction video. Is that what they're called? Yes, it was kind of a hot mess. There was like sobbing. But the one thing that kept coming over and over and over again was that I'm creative. Also that I'm funny, just saying. But mostly that I'm creative. I mean, I guess creative and funny, they're probably tied. Those are like the two things that I'm 100% rock solid in. Those are the things that I'm good at. But I also think that that relates to the last part of that definition that I read, and that was about entertaining ourselves and others. So that's also part of creativity. You know, looking at things differently, pointing out the absurds in life, and making fun of it and having fun. So I think of creativity as having an aspect of play to it as well. Like, they're definitely connected. I don't know. I'm not Brené Brown. I'm not a researcher, but I'm just saying, I mean, I think I just said Brené Brown because subconsciously I'm like, I think this is part of her wholehearted living, right? I don't know if they're in the same chapter. She definitely talks about creativity and she also talks about play. But I think, like, for me, being creative is part of who I've always identified as. You know, I was in the kid in elementary school who could draw Bart Simpson so good that other kids would accuse me of tracing. It was so rude. I would get so upset about it. But secretly, I knew that was like a really big compliment. But I taught art in public schools for over a decade, and I've had a million little crazy business side hustles throughout the year, and I enjoy it all. It is play for me. I think it's sort of a time to relax, have fun, lose track of time, and it's just a sort of a way for me to escape. So that's the fun stuff. That's the play. But I'm going to talk really quick. We're getting back onto the exercise tip. The thing that was basically the counter opposite of that for me was exercise. Okay. I know it's kind of a crucial component to living our best lives, right? Moving our bodies, being healthy in a way that feels good to us, whatever. For me, it was always a punishment. For as far back as I can remember, I've hated running. Not that running's the only exercise, but just stick with me for a second. I remember during middle school when I tried to get out of running the mile. Oh, the dreaded mile. I would always try to do so good in gym so that if I just skipped the mile and got a zero, I would still do fine. I would still have an A, maybe a B. But I remember telling Coach Ventura in middle school, I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't feel good. I feel like I might throw up or something. And she didn't even look up from her clipboard. And she just said, well, don't throw up on the track. Throw up in the grass. And I was like, ugh, so annoying. And I just keep going. Ugh, it's the worst. I don't know if anybody can like feel how happy I was talking about other stuff. And now I'm like, ugh. Okay, and then there's another story of running, which I know is not the only form of exercise, but still stick with me. I was probably like 5 or 6, and I was in soccer for that one season. And I would beg my mom every time to take me late so I didn't have to run laps. But before you just start thinking, oh, you just hated running, here's why. The coach would always make the person who came in last run an extra lap by themselves. Like, everybody else was done and you had to run one more lap. Like, everybody knew you're the biggest loser who didn't finish with everybody else. And let's just make it real obvious and make you run one more. You have 3 guesses to figure out who was always last, but you're only going to need one because it was me. Isn't that so messed up? Like, who makes a 5-year-old run an entire lap? I mean, it's like a soul soccer field while everyone watches. I mean, whoever that guy was, I feel like I need to talk to my parents about that. Whoever that dude was, I'm going to look him up on Facebook. I don't know. Ugh, who does that? Anyways, as I got older, I remember using my mom's treadmill I did like Tai Bo workouts, step aerobics, Tai Bo, Billy Blanks, I think was his name. Does that sound right? Tai Bo, Billy Blanks in our basement. And I just did it because I was like a little chubbier than the other girls at A.G. Wright Middle School. And I didn't like that. I really didn't like exercising, but I also didn't like being the chubby person and feeling like something was wrong with me. And I just knew that I wanted to be like the other girls. And so if I wanted to do that, then I had to suffer. That was my punishment. I had to do it. So anyways, by my 20s, I started to fancy myself a little bit more of a feminist. You know, I was a little punk rocker, thought I was a little more feminist. So I would try to tell myself that I was exercising to get healthy, not to lose weight. But in the back of my head, I knew I just wanted to lose weight. Like for me, it wasn't about health. It was really, really about looking a certain way. And the exercise was never fun for me, ever. Like I always quit, no matter what. I'd be like, all right, here we go. This time I found this thing I like, I'm going to do it. Here we go. Hitting the gym hard. A few weeks, a month, whatever. Always quit. Yo-yo dieting, yo-yo exercising, is that even a thing? But I was never able to find something that I loved because I feel like the reason I was having to do it to begin with was because I was already like in trouble. It was already a punishment. It was already that extra lap around the field. Like you came in last. You're the biggest. You don't look the way you're supposed to. Here's what you have to do because of the thing you did wrong. Whether that was finishing the laps last or weighing more than my sixth grade peers. It's always come from a place for me of punishment. All right, so fast forward to 35. When I was pregnant with my daughter, I started getting really serious about kicking diet culture to the curb so that I could allow my daughter to grow up in an environment where all the yo-yoing wouldn't be the norm like it was for me when I was growing up. So over the past 5 years, I've worked really hard to accept my body where it is and approach food more intuitively and try not to categorize foods as good or bad and really just listen to my body. And it's been really, really good. It's been really freeing and it's been a really interesting process. And I feel like I'm doing pretty well. And I was doing really well, but the one thing I couldn't really wrap my brain around was how to reintroduce exercise. So I knew I wanted to exercise again, but for my whole life, it's been a punishment and I'm moving away from that sort of mentality. And how do I exercise in a way that feels good for me and not something that I have to do because I'm fat? You know, as I'm starting to like think about this, I'm just thinking about that soccer coach again. Like he really did a number on me with that extra lap thing. Like maybe I'd be a marathon runner today if he hadn't humiliated me week after week at soccer practice when I was 5 years old, y'all. That's crazy. But I think also, you know what else is like my whole family, we've always laughed about Deanna saying, oh, take me late so I don't have to run laps. And so that also kind of put it in my brain that I'm not a runner. It's not a thing I do. But there's just always been a lot of, I guess, some sort of level of humiliation associated with exercise for me. Like, I'm doing it wrong. I'm doing it because I'm fat, or I'm doing it because I have to change who I am. And, you know, it's just, I really wanted to work it back into my life in a new sort of health at every size, intuitive approach to exercise. So, cut to my daughter, Ruby, who loves putting on a show. Maybe you have a person in your life like this. Maybe it's your kid. Maybe it's your partner. I don't know. But she loves to dance and perform. Like she has the costume. She's got the moves. She picks out the perfect song. And the constant, are you watching? Mom, are you watching? Are you watching? Like, seriously, Lady Gaga better watch her back because a new star is born. I was watching her do a routine and I was like, oh my gosh, you know where she gets this? Totally from me. I mean, maybe her dad too. He's in a band. But, you know, I was the lady he dated who was in the front row with silly choreographed moves, dance moves with my friends, which, by the way, was not his favorite way for me to show my support. But I think the crowd liked it. But I love being silly. I love karaoke. I love a silly little dance move. At my wedding, I had the DJ stop the father-daughter dance in the middle so me and my dad could look confused and then look around and yell, "I thought this was a party. Let's dance!" Like we were Kevin Bacon and Footloose. I'm crazy. I had a few friends sprinkled around the perimeter of the dance floor with confetti poppers. It was serious, you know. The DJ blasted Kenny Loggins and the reception popped off, y'all. I mean, I also like thinking about that. Like I watched Footloose almost every day as a kid. My grandfather watched me and I would always say, "Pap, fast forward to the dance." So it makes perfect sense that the answer to my dancing, I mean, to my exercise conundrum is dancing, right? I needed to dance to move my body for fun. And maybe it didn't count as exercise. Maybe I'm just dancing. You dance at a wedding, you're drinking some champagne, you're dancing, whatever. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to just dance. And now I just mentioned Lady Gaga, but I'm hearing like, "Just dance, gonna be okay. Ba-da-do-do-do, just dance." I mean, it's so fun, right? When you go to a wedding reception and the dance floor is good, you know that feeling. All the songs like Usher, yeah, yeah, or that one that's like, what is that one that's like, "A little bit softer now, a little bit softer. Shout, come on in, shout." Yeah, or like "Don't Forget About the Electric Slide" or "Wobble Baby, Wobble Baby, Wobble Baby," right? Those are so fun. You lose track of time. Like I've gone to weddings and been sore the next day. So I started thinking, that is exercise. That's moving my body. It's totally fine. It feels 1,000% fun. And it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment. It's something I like doing. So I was like, duh, what was I thinking? Duh. The thing is, people are nervous, right? Like people are like, "Wait, what? You're just like dancing?" Because I mean, there's like Zumba classes and there's jazzercise and there's all the things. But I'm talking about just dancing like you're at a wedding. Just dancing without the liquid courage, or maybe with it sometimes, but you're just dancing. And then we're back to creativity and play. And there's people who say, "Oh, I can't dance. Oh, I can't draw." And they feel really uncomfortable playing, just being silly. So I just think it makes total sense. Like I just had this huge light bulb moment where I'm like, I'm never going to be a CrossFit, like push it, feel the burn kind of person. But a lady who has dance parties with her kids? Heck yes. Sign me up for that. So I started doing daily dance parties. We dance at my house. We dance every day for 3 songs at 6:30 p.m. It's amazing. It's right before bedtime. I have a 5-year-old and then I have a little boy, Jack, who's almost 2. And we just cut a rug for 10 minutes, like 3 songs, 9 minutes, 9 to 12 minutes. And we laugh and we're silly and it's fun. And I'm moving my body again in a way that feels good and inspiring and fun for me. So I just wanted to share with you that there are ways you can move your body that don't feel like punishment if that's something that you've struggled with. It's a way to be healthy and not be in the mindset of like exercise and no pain, no gain, and all this stuff. Like, it's just a fun way to move my body. And I will say that doing the dance parties for a few months now consistently every day has started me just feeling more open to the idea of moving my body in other ways, because I really had to sort of like be friends with moving my body again, as weird as that sounds. And I guess the dance floor is like where we called a truce, me and exercise, and we were like, all right, cool, we can, all right, fine, we can hang. So you might be thinking, Deanna, I'm the person at the wedding who's not getting on the dance floor, not wobbling, not having the time of my life, not going to do it. What am I supposed to do? I get it. I feel you. I mean, I hate running. Some people might hate dancing. I don't understand that. And you know what? Runners probably don't understand me. So I get you. That's the thing about creativity and play and movement. What's fun looks different for everyone. So I came up with a few steps to get you thinking about what you could do and what this could all mean for you. So I have 3 simple steps. Number 1, is I want you to think of something that you loved doing as a kid. Did you play freeze tag? That was fun. Did you like swinging? I don't know, playing at the park, swimming, swinging. Was there something, you know, you really loved doing because it was just fun for you, not because you had to do it or because you had to get your steps in or because you were trying to lose weight or do anything like that? Just go back to your childhood and think, like, man, you know what would be really fun right now? Flashlight tag. Did you ever play that at night? It was really fun. So anyways, I'm like thinking of a story, but whatever. Let me not be a weirdo. For real, I want you to make a list of at least 5 things you did as a kid, or I don't know, as a 20-year-old, whatever, that were fun ways to move your body. So just a list, 5 things, okay? Fun ways to move your body. Oh my gosh, do you remember mall walking? Like, is that still a thing? Do people still mall walk? I feel like, because I'm 40 now, I'm like, huh, that actually sounds like a fun way for me to move my body. Like, like an outdoor mall with a friend on a beautiful day. I don't know. Here's the thing. The less it sounds like exercise to me, the more likely I'm going to do it. But also, you don't have to be a weirdo like me, right? You're like, who is this girl talking about dance parties and mall walking? You're like, no, she's not doing that. That's crazy. But your list could be totally different. You know, it could also just be easy breezy. It could be like going on a walk and listening to a podcast. It could be playing more with your kids in your backyard. Join a kickball team. That's fun, right? Don't like offices do that? Trying hot yoga, something I kind of want to try, but I'm intimidated. Whitewater rafting could be fun, right? And that's going to move your body. So I don't know. If you think it sounds fun, even if it's out of your comfort zone, add it to your list. 5 things. If you have more, that's great. If you have less, I'll allow it. Shoot for 5. Number 2, I want you to think about using the buddy system. Now, in diet culture, usually this means it's like someone who keeps you on track and makes sure you don't screw everything up. It's accountability, like, because we're doing something we don't want to do, so we have to be held accountable by our buddy and we'll feel guilty if we cancel. No, it's not that kind of thing. We're going to reframe that. We're going to shift that mindset too. So I just want you to think of a friend or 2 or 3 that you have fun with. Someone who you are often thinking like, I don't see them enough, or I really need to call them, and think of a fun way to move your bodies together. So if you're a little intimidated like me to do a yoga class, go together, you know, take walks with your friend because it's fun to walk with your friend and talk and escape from life for a bit. So, you know, go to the mall walk, get a little Starbucks, do what you want. So I think that exercise is really just movement. So, you know, if we could just move that mindset from being trained to think that it has to last a certain amount of time, be a certain amount of challenging, you know, create a certain amount of sweat or soreness or calories burned. We got to get away from that. Just move your body for fun and ideally with someone who is fun to be around. So now we have two funs. We got a fun thing to do with a fun person we like to hang out with. Now we have to decide, this is step 3, you have to decide when you're going to do it. So this is the first part that starts to feel like, ugh, you're making me commit. We're back to diet culture. Just kidding. I do think it helps to plan it out, right? Otherwise, it can just fall by the wayside. It gets pushed back, whatever, whatever. So for me, the daily dance parties with only 3 songs made sense. I had to do some experimenting first. At first, I thought I was going to do them at 12:30, like p.m., right after lunch at our house. And then we would like move on with our day. So we'd like have our whole morning, we'd eat lunch, do a dance party, and then move on. But then it started to feel like it was getting in the way. And I was feeling like, oh, I wish we didn't have to do that. So it started not being fun. So I was like, uh-oh, we got to change this. So I moved it to 4 p.m., which is when my husband usually comes home from work. So I thought, okay, like we'll have our whole day. When he gets home, we'll dance, and then we'll move on with our evening. But then on the days he didn't work, it was like, oh, now I wish we didn't do it. Like we're out doing something or whatever. So I settled on 6:30 p.m. I'm on the East Coast with our 2 kids, 7 o'clock bedtime. It's safe to say that usually we're home. We've eaten dinner and we're getting ready to think about bed. So we do the dance party. We get ready for stories and bedtime and it works for us. So I can do it daily. So for me, doing 10 minutes a day feels more fun than committing to Sundays for an hour. That's just where I'm at. That's what I'm doing. But it could change. It could evolve. So I want you to start thinking, What can you commit to? What can your friend commit to? For me, 10 minutes a day is perfect, like I just said, but you just need to figure out what works for you. So, I mean, maybe if you made a list of a few friends, you like hang out with one on Monday, one on Wednesday, one on Friday, and you get like three friend hangs and three times to move your body, whatever. But really, the only way to figure it out is to just start doing it and then tweak as needed. So, really quick, just to recap, you're going to make a list of the things you love to do as a kid or that you want to try as an adult. Be creative. Don't hold back. Write them all down. Horseback riding, that could be fun. Sorry, I'm like full of ideas. Then you're going to make a list of the people you'd like to do those things with. Up the fun by adding friends. And then you have to actually pick a time and do the dang thing. So just think about that. You're creative. You're brilliant. You're beautiful. And if you would like, I would love for you to maybe come to a dance party with me and my family if you want. We do turn on the camera. We get on Zoom. Some days nobody comes. Some days people come. But they're free to join because I'm doing them anyways. And I just thought it would be fun to invite others to do it with us. So if you're interested, you can head over to my website, deannaseymour.com/party. And if you're not quite ready to shake a tail feather with me, you can still find me on Instagram under @imperfectparty. And you can see what I'm up to and maybe check out some of my moves if you want. But no matter what you do from here, just make sure you have fun.
I love Deanna's advice. Just make sure you have fun. I'm talking about this all the time when it comes to the way we move our body. We have to enjoy it. And it's not always that we're going to enjoy it every single time. Sometimes you may just do the hard thing or show up when you said you were going to show up, even though you're not really feeling it. But once you get moving, you may find that it was the best decision you made that day. So motivation can be complicated, and deciding what workout to do can be complicated, but it really doesn't have to be if we just remember to bring enjoyment and fun and creativity and supporting our happiness back into it. So I hope you got something from this episode, and we would both love to hear from you. If you have, you can tag me @JennyHolbert on Instagram, and please check out the show notes for the resources from today's episode. You can find those at JennyHolbert.com/138, the number of this episode, and that link should be in the description wherever you're listening to the podcast. Thank you again for listening, for showing up for yourself, my friend. And until we chat again, go live your one wild life.